You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Hello and welcome to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I am Dr. Kristen Lierley and Happy New Year! We made it! It's 2026. Do you remember what it felt like a year ago when we knew that Donald Trump was elected and that he had that giant playbook, Project 2025, and we knew that it was going to be challenging, but I don't think many of us really understood exactly how challenging it was going to be. Well, some of us did. We'll get to that in a minute. We've watched the Trump administration attempt to dismantle healthcare and freeze funding and attack reproductive rights and so much more. They ignore the Constitution. Congress is impotent and can't seem to get anything done. The institutions that we rely on, for me as a physician, the CDC, we can't rely on these things anymore. And many of us feel helpless. But there is an organization that's been fighting back in the courts and beyond, and they've been winning. Democracy Forward. The Atlantic called them the single largest source of Trump's legal troubles. Doesn't that sound so good? They have filed over 700 actions in over three quarters of the states, and they work with more than 500 clients and partners. And they cover a broad range of issues. You have to when you're combating this barrage of craziness every single day. Everything from protecting immigrants to combating the anti-education agenda. So much in so many different places with so many different people. The fever pitch of Democracy Forward's work matches perfectly the chaos that the Trump administration has reigned over our country for the past year. So, we have a lot to talk about, and I am thrilled to welcome my friend, Skye Perryman. She is the president and CEO for Democracy Forward. Skye, welcome.
So good to see you. It's great to be here.
It is so good to see you. And I got to tell you, I have been watching from the bleachers all of the work you've been doing. It's a tsunami. It's everything. Tell us about Democracy Forward, how you got started, and where you're at now.
Yeah, so Democracy Forward started in 2017, after the first few months of the first Trump administration, where it became clear at that time that the United States was headed into a new era. This country, and you've always said this, Dr. Lierley, but you know, this country has never been perfect. We've always been on a journey to a more perfect union, to what we can do to be more inclusive, a true democracy for all people. But what we saw in the first Trump administration in those early months, and you'll remember this, was that the question wasn't, are we moving forward? It was, how hard are we going to have to fight to hold on to hard-earned gains? And there was a real need at that time for more lawyers to come in to help bring cases. There was a need for a new kind of advocacy and legal model, one that understood that the courts are there to issue rulings to protect people every day, but they're also there to help people mobilize, to call for a public accounting of something that the government does to you, and you're going to say, you can't do that, and I'm going to go to court, and even if the court doesn't decide for me, although we do win far more than we lose, but even if the court doesn't ultimately decide for me, I want the public to know that my rights were violated and that I'm going to do everything in my power to protect them. And so that's how Democracy Forward got started. It was a small, scrappy, but highly effective organization. It brought more than 650 actions in the first Trump administration, about 150 substantive federal lawsuits, winning court orders across a range of issues. And then after the first Trump administration, there was a question of like whether you needed all these lawyers to be on the field for democracy or whether lawyers could just go back to their normal lives. And then January 6th happened. And that really epitomized this era that we're in, that it's not, it wasn't just a moment, and that threats to democracy weren't just leaving because an election was decided, but that really this extremism and these threats to our democracy were continuing to become intense. You know, as a OBGYN, that what the court, you know, a few months later decided that it would hear Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health. This was when you had the 6-3 court. And so in 2021, I came on as the CEO at Democracy Forward, and the organization started scaling and building to really make sure that there was a counterweight to this extremism, that there was a group of lawyers and strategists who were going to fight every day for people, for everyday people like the ones I grew up around in Waco, Texas, and like the one and the people that you are in community with. And so that's how we got started and a bit of kind of where we are now. We've been scaling and growing since 2021. And then this last year, of course, I think the American people have really been able to see on full display what we've been building.
I muted myself.
Yeah,
I
can't.
Sure. Okay. Could you even have imagined back in 2021 when you came on board? We had lived through the first Trump presidency, but it just seemed impossible that we could elect Donald Trump again. Yet, you were planning for maybe not Donald Trump, but the same kind of attacks and behaviors that you had seen. And then Project 2025 enters the horizon. And you weren't sitting on your hands, were you?
No, and in fact, when you say, can we believe how the American public elected Donald Trump, Project 2025 is a real part of that. Because in late 2023, when Project 2025 came out, very few people knew about it. And Democracy Forward read it cover to cover, and we knew what it was, that it was a threat to all Americans. And in many of the states that we work in across the country, you see these movements. Project 2025 wasn't something about whether it was going to happen. It has been happening in states across the country. So we knew firsthand the harms. We also knew how unpopular it would be with the American public. And so we produced a guide, and you know, your listeners can still find it online, called The People's Guide to Project 2025, that broke it down. And then in months subsequent to that, lots of groups and people started talking about Project 2025. Congress had hearings on Project 2025. But what was interesting was that President Trump, when he was a candidate, and J.D. Vance, they pretended like they didn't know anything about it.
Right.
They disavowed it. They pretended like they knew nothing about it, because what they knew and what the polling showed at the time, including just a few weeks prior to the election, is that Americans of all ideological viewpoints rejected it. Whether you tend to be more conservative or liberal or progressive or apolitical, nobody thought that it was a good idea to hire federal workers based on their loyalty to a politician, or to ban mifepristone, or to decimate the Department of Education. And that was what was all in there. And so we did get very concerned that the president was going to win this election because he wasn't leveling with the American people. He wasn't being honest about what we knew was going to happen, which is that he was going to get into office and he was going to accelerate the very agenda that he acted like he had nothing to do with on the campaign trail. And of course, that's what happened. But what we know is that the vast majority of the American people, even in last year's election, they reject Project 2025. And that's what you've seen this year. As the president has accelerated this shock and awe Project 2025, you've seen him lose tremendous amounts of public support. And so we really planned in order to be able to respond, to represent people who do not believe, whatever they did last year, they do not believe they voted for what has been happening this last year.
Right. And you understand that because you understand that not only are there the courts where you fight for the law, but there's the court of public opinion. And that's something that you are brilliant at working with as well. And we'll get to that later, as well as some of your victories. But I want to ask you, as an attorney by training, working with groups of attorneys and advocates, Trump came out pretty strong early on against people who were doing this kind of pro bono work, and people were backing down, but Democracy Forward didn't back down. Why?
Well, we believe that really this is a do or die moment for the American people, for American democracy, for the whole experiment of democracy. People think, you know, democracy is some long-standing system of government. It's really an outlier, and it's in its very, very early stages when we even look at our history. And so this is really the moment that we have to understand if this is model is going to be successful. And so we're going to put it all in the field. But the president did. He sought to intimidate lawyers. Many law firms capitulated to his agenda. I'm proud that I was trained at two law firms, Covington and Burling and WilmerHale, neither of which capitulated. WilmerHale sued and won. Because what the president was doing with respect to law firms is deeply unconstitutional. It's a violation of the First Amendment. It violates people's right to counsel. And you've seen that, but in this year, it has just been so important that groups like Democracy Forward and all the public interest organizations that we work with through a large coalition of more than 650 organizations be on the field ready to represent people and communities in this country, because it has been a year that powerful institutions have pulled back. But what we've seen is that as those institutions have pulled back, the people have stepped forward. And what we are in the midst of right now is the largest and most successful affirmative litigation effort against an executive branch in United States history. And the people have made that happen.
They sure have. And the people right now are concerned about some of the issues that you have taken head on, like the ACA. We're hearing a lot about premiums going up, about people losing their coverage. This is something that you have specifically fought and won on. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, early on, the administration sought to adopt a policy that would have deprived 2.2 million Americans of their health care. We sued. We have a court order that remains in place that is protecting health care. This is a common playbook that we saw in the first Trump administration. You saw a number of efforts to, first of all, he tried to overturn the ACA and lost in Congress because it's very popular and it's very necessary for the American people. But then they started to do through the courts and through regulatory action what they couldn't do through Congress, which was to try to decimate the ACA altogether. And we won a variety of cases in the first Trump administration, and then the team this year has been able to prevail so far in our litigation to protect people's health care.
And speaking of health care, we know abortion is health care, and mifepristone has been something that you have championed. You can take a victory lap for what you did personally for mifepristone during the COVID years. It's always a team, and that's part of the beauty of Democracy Forward. But talk a little bit about what you've done with mifepristone with your organization.
Well, and let's just say, I mean, what you're referring to is in the COVID-19 pandemic, the American College of OBGYNs, where I was the general counsel and you were one of the board members, had to bring a case to force the Trump administration to lift telehealth restrictions on mifepristone. They lifted restrictions on every other medication, but not the medication that was needed for both, obviously, for abortion care, and then, of course, as ACOG suggests, for miscarriage care. But since I've been at Democracy Forward, we saw the Supreme Court overturn Roe versus Wade, and we've seen a number of states just take very extreme efforts to restrict access to reproductive healthcare into life-saving care. And so we've been on the front lines representing the generic manufacturer of mifepristone, Gen BioPro, in a range of federal lawsuits to protect access to the medication. And just this week, we filed a notice in federal court showing that indicating that Gen BioPro will intervene, which is the procedure you can do to defend access to mifepristone against Texas and Louisiana and other far-right states that are seeking to have access restricted.
And we all know that this is part of the Trump administration's backdoor abortion ban, trying to sneak it in because they know they can't do it
Absolutely.
Through the front door. Yeah, we are just getting started. When we come back, Skye Perryman, president and CEO of Democracy Forward, is going to tell us about Donald Trump's plan to pay himself $230 million in taxpayer dollars. You're listening to the Dr. Kristen Lightworley Show on the air, streaming wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley, and I'm here with my friend Sky Perryman. She is the president and CEO of Democracy Forward. We're talking about the many ways Democracy Forward has pushed back on the Trump administration's reckless actions. We've covered the ACA. We talked a little bit about medication abortion, also called mifepristone. What about this $230 million that Donald Trump was seeking from the Justice Department, Sky? He was like so open about it, like so casual.
It's really so unbelievable that I just like to pause that Donald Trump thinks that the American people owe him $230 million. Okay, that is crazy.
Yeah.
But then what is also crazy is if you think about it happening this year, you know, we're recording this in the middle of the winter. There are families across this country that are working and they're working hard and they can't make ends meet because of so many structural issues, because of this administration's policies. But then the president, who has enriched himself in so many ways in the last year, right, believes that the American people owe him $230 million. And so at Democracy Forward, we have launched an investigation, and then we recently brought a court action because the administration hasn't been responding to public records requests about this. But it really raises a lot of questions around ethics and cronyism and corruption and conflicts of interest at the Department of Justice, because he's essentially having people that have a personal interest in Donald Trump, either were appointed by him or have other interests, presiding over this matter. It is just really the definition of corruption and cronyism, the type of thing that the United States for many years in many ways avoided within a government. Now you're seeing the president of the United States perpetuate it. So we're working on that, a Democracy Forward.
And it's so wild how he just puts it out there and people just, you know, they just seem to accept it.
I think
this is
part of the strategy that we understand, which is that in democracies, in these backsliding democracies, which unfortunately the United States in 2021 was added to a list of global backsliding democracies, and it remained on that list ever since. And you have a democracy that is backsliding into an autocracy or into sort of an authoritarian mindset and governing structure. And so this is something we've seen across the world where people get elected through a competitive election, and then they come in and they try to consolidate power and abuse weaknesses in our system. So abuse the fact that normally in government, the corruption is rooted out by norms within the government. But if you remove those norms and you want to engage in corruption, there are opportunities to do so. We believe that this is unlawful, what they're doing, but this is the kind of pattern that we see. And so part of it is to do so much of this that it exhausts people, so that you just get to where it's sort of like, well, I can't really focus on that today because there's all these other things happening. And so this is part of this playbook. And that's why we work so hard every day to make sure that we don't let these things go unchallenged, even when we are exhausted, or even when we know the American public is exhausted and maybe doesn't want to read about every bit of our work and pushing back. That's okay, but we have to keep people engaged in order to stop this playbook from unfolding.
And I think the American public is exhausted. I mean, you can see it. You can see people losing hope left and right. But you can also see, as the pendulum is starting to swing and all of your victories are piling up and you're getting that information out to the public and they're seeing that there is actually hope. There is actually a future. And, you know, a big part of that was what happened with DOGE, trying to access our personal data, Social Security, labor, HHS data. You stopped the IRS from sharing taxpayer data with ICE. What are they trying to do here? And how does it affect, why should we all be worried about this?
Well, we should all be worried because you have a president that has decided to govern. He had a choice. He could have said, oh my gosh, I can't believe in light of all my criminal convictions and everything else that I've pulled this off and the American people have voted in a certain way and I'm going to govern for all Americans. And that's not what he's chosen to do. Unfortunately, this administration has chosen to follow the playbook that we were just discussing, this autocratic playbook, to abuse weaknesses in our system or to try to find loopholes in order to harm people and to consolidate their power. And one place where they've done this is with our personal data. So DOGE came in initially and tried to rifle around in Social Security data. We won a court order for many weeks that kept DOGE out of all of our Social Security data. The Supreme Court on its shadow docket paused that order, but did so after Donald Trump had left Washington. And we do believe we were able to protect some of that sensitive data. And we're continuing to vigorously litigate that case because those shadow docket rulings don't stay forever. We know we will prevail there. But then recently we won a case that prevents Social Security or in the IRS from sharing data with a range of federal agencies, including ICE. But what is this at play? It's trying to consolidate power. It is trying to take information that people have. Taxpayers trust the government. We all pay taxes. And you're trusting that the government has your most intimate information about your income, about where you work, about where you live, about how many deductions you take. And they're not supposed to abuse that information by sending it across the government or providing it to third parties. And so that's what that case is all about. And of course, for folks that are targeted by ICE, it's really important that this court order be in place because these are tax-paying people that are trusting our government and playing by the rules, only to then have someone come in and try to abuse the trust that they've placed and the rules that they're following. And so we're really proud of that case and the team at Democracy Forward that put that case together.
It feels like this is something that is breaking through to everyday Americans because your Social Security number is so personal to you and because you know you're supposed to protect it. So to know that that threat is out there and you are defending against it.
Tax filings, yeah.
Yes, yeah, it's so important. All right, when we come back from this break, let's talk about what happens when ICE tried to raid churches and synagogues and places of worship and how Democracy Forward fought back. You like it? All right. We'll return here with Sky Perryman. She is the president and CEO of Democracy Forward. You are listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show on the air. We are streaming wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. Don't forget to like, share, comment, and ring the bell. See you back in a minute. Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley, and I am here with Sky Perryman. She is the president and CEO of Democracy Forward. If you've missed any of our conversation, you're going to want to go back and listen to it because we're talking about all the little ways we are picking at the Trump administration's overthrow of our democracy. There is hope. It's like 1,000 points of light out there. So how can you find us? The Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, wherever you get your podcasts, and on YouTube at Dr. Kristen Lierley. So, Sky, before we get into your work about blocking ICE from entering houses of worship, which I think is just so incredibly hypocritical and crazy, let's talk a little bit about the two courts that are out there, because you are brilliant in understanding that there are the courts of law, but there is also the court of public opinion. And you've got to create an environment for people to understand what's going on in order for it to have the kind of effect that you're seeking. Talk a little bit about your strategy.
Well, we know that in this moment, and we can see this in our own country. If you go back through history, you can find it in other countries. Now you can look at it throughout history globally, is when democracy is in crisis. And when you are facing a threat like a political actor like we have with this president and this administration that does not want to govern in a way where people have power, or where they're responsible to the people, that what is most important and the thing that is going to save us is going to be the people. And what is most important is that people use the power they have. And the ability to initiate litigation in the court of law, to file lawsuits against your government, is one of the most important powers that people have. And it always has been, regardless of who's sitting on the Supreme Court. It always has been such an important power to say throughout our history, I'm a person and I have rights, and you have violated them, and I'm gonna go call you out on it publicly. I'm gonna do it in a court of law. I'm gonna put evidence behind it. And I'm gonna talk about what happened to me. And so the work of the courts in movement building, in enabling people to utilize the power that this country provides, by the way, a lot of other countries don't provide, the ability to initiate litigation against your government, is an incredible power. And it would be a real loss in this moment where people don't feel like they have that much power to leave that on the sidelines. So that is our theory of change around the courts, is it's not just about winning court orders. We have to do that every day, and we do it every day, and people are being protected every day by many court orders that we and that others are winning. But it's also about people exercising that inherent power, that inherent dignity that they have, that's recognized still in this country, that you get to show up to court. And that's why, by the way, the courts and lawyers and judges are such a threat to someone like Donald Trump. But part of that work is not just what the law says and what's the facts say and what does a judge say, but it's also about how we can get our community, the people in this country who may not be paying attention, or people who may not yet have been attacked by this administration, to see and understand what is going on. And that is the work in the court of public opinion. And one of the strategies that we know that this administration's using, that we have seen throughout history with autocratic actors using, is they want us to deny our common humanity. They want us to forget that we have more in common than we do have different, right? They want to play on people's differences. They want to engage in culture wars, divide and conquer is an actual term that is used about, you know, seeking to consolidate power by dividing people. They want to engage in all of that. And one of the things we have to do, and I think this is what you're referring to in the court of public opinion, is to just insist that we are not going to lose our common humanity, and that we're going to tell our stories, we're going to tell our neighbors' stories, we're going to talk about what's happening, and we're going to do it in a way that the vast majority of humans can understand and relate to and understand that this is not one person's fight. And this is not one community's fight. This is the fight for all of us. And so a lot of our work at Democracy Forward is focused on how we can help people leverage the power of their voices, leverage the power of the rights they have to go to court, leverage the power of their positions in order to help us all engage in this fight together and in this community.
It seems so big and scary from an individual standpoint, especially somebody who is not savvy and not knowledgeable, but that's what you do. And I love that you use the word movement, because it truly is a movement to protect regular Americans. And, you know, speaking of protecting, talk about what you did to protect people in houses of worship when we were seeing ICE going into these sacred places and stealing people from places that are supposed to be safe.
Well, this is, you know, one of, I'm so proud of the teams at Democracy Forward that have been on the front lines of this. So one of the first things that the administration did, literally one of the first acts that Kristi Noem undertook when she became Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, was to rescind a memo, a policy that had been in place for almost three decades. It had been in place in Republican administrations, Democratic administrations, Trump 1.0. So this is not some policy that was only in place in the Biden administration or something like that. And that policy protected sensitive locations, houses of worship, schools, and hospitals from indiscriminate immigration enforcement. And she immediately rescinded it, and then there became stories about people being threatened within houses of worship, in the parking lots of houses of worship, within their church services. And it was really disrupting, not just, by the way, the experience of people who ICE may be targeting, but it was also disrupting the experience of all people of faith that were in these communities to engage in expressive association and to engage in communal worship, which, as we know, is a foundational element of American democracy. And so we had brought two lawsuits against this heinous action by the administration. One lawsuit, we have a motion pending before the court, and the court has not ruled. In the other lawsuit, we were pleased to win a court order on behalf of our clients, which include the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship. So that's Baptist across the country, not necessarily the usual suspects of going into court.
Right.
The Quaker meeting houses, many Quaker meeting houses across the country, and a Sikh temple in San Francisco. And we won a court order protecting those houses of worship from this enforcement. And then, of course, we're waiting on the court to rule in our other case. And this is going to air in the new year. We're recording it right before the new year. But we have a team that is on guard right now that is watching and monitoring what's going to happen throughout the holiday season. And we will be prepared to respond if the administration does what it is rumored to do, to try to target people in their very intimate worship time and with their communities. So we're really proud of this work. And it is the kind of thing that transcends politics. I mean, people across this country overwhelmingly disapprove of this move. And it shows you, again, how this administration is trying to get people to really set aside their humanity.
Mm-hmm. It's so hypocritical of this administration that leans so deeply into faith and religion and groups of people who are brought together in their houses of worship, but then to also want to violate that religious freedom. I just find that it's just reprehensible.
And it's unlawful. And we've won, you know, in the one court that we've had, the courts decided we've been able to prevail on that argument.
Let's talk about protecting federal workers. You've also been very firm in your support for federal workers, launching Civil Service Strong and blocking Schedule F. For our listeners who may not be familiar, tell us about it.
Yeah, so, you know, over 90% of Americans believe, I think probably what all of us believe, right, which is that civil servants or our federal workers, the people that engage in public service for all of us, they should be hired based on their merit, not based on whether they're a Republican or a Democrat or their political loyalty. We don't have loyalty tests. One of the big cornerstone initiatives in Project 2025 was to seek to decimate that nonpartisan professional civil service through a variety of policies that this administration is has tried to unleash, will try to unleash, to really make it to where if you work for the government because of your loyalty to the president, as opposed to your loyalty to the Constitution and the American people, which is what the oath that all civil servants serve. This affects everyday Americans' lives, as you know, because federal workers are doing everything from studying our climate and our community safety to implementing programs in our homes and in our educational systems through the scientists that are studying the quality of the air and the water that we're taking in. So this is like serious, serious stuff. And you don't want political hacks doing this work. You want people that are experts, that have a loyalty to the Constitution and to the American people. So the administration has taken a wrecking ball to that value. They tried to indiscriminately fire thousands of federal workers across the government. We have won multiple court orders to protect those jobs. Some of those court orders are in place. Others have been paused by the shadow docket. No court has said that what the administration has done is lawful, and that's very important. We just won a court order last week to protect more federal workers. So this is something that we're really trying to sound the alarm about because it affects every single American in this country. This isn't about federal workers. It's about all of the American people that are served by the federal workforce that are going to be poorly served if that workforce is a corrupt workforce that is based on political loyalty and ideological, you know, litmus tests, as opposed to what 90% of Americans believe, you know, the nonpartisan sort of merit-based civil service. So that's a lot of the work we're doing.
And you said loyalty, and you said there is not a loyalty pledge, but
the
Trump
is,
administration.
Right. The administration is trying to implement one, and we have sued. We're waiting on the court to rule. And maybe by the time this airs, it will have ruled. It's totally unlawful what they're trying to do. And this has been a theme of this administration, is that they want everyone. They want public schools across America to pledge loyalty. They want doctors across America to pledge loyalty. They want individual citizens. That's not who we are. You know, we are a big country of a lot of people. Not everybody agrees on stuff. We don't have to swear loyalty oaths to political agendas, and we certainly shouldn't have to in order to be able to serve the American public. And so this is a really significant priority at Democracy Forward. We have a lot of team members that work on this every day, and we're going to continue to fight for the American public and for our civil servants that serve the American public.
I'm so glad that you brought up public education, because I would just like to highlight that you forced the Trump administration to unfreeze $6 billion for public Yes. schools and protected museums and libraries. So connect the dots. How do these attacks on education funding fit into the broader authoritarian playbook?
Well, one is the president wants to deprive anyone of federal funding, even when Congress says they have to have federal funding, if they don't agree with him or align with his priorities. And that's autocratic. It's not a democracy. And we've been able to defeat so many of those attempts. And we know, of course, that education is really a foundational element of a democracy, that we need to have an engaged, informed citizenship, citizenry, in order to have a democracy that thrives. And so, of course, one of the first places that anti-democratic actors go is to try to take away that educational access. What's special about this case is that this is a case that we filed after. We had filed and won a case to prevent the administration from decimating the Department of Education, and the Supreme Court paused our court order on the shadow docket. Mm-hmm. And so instead of being deterred and saying, well, there's nothing we can do, throw up our hands, we understood that the president was impounding funds. That was a different legal theory than what we had brought with the Department of Education. And so we went right back into court. And because of that court of public opinion, as well as the court of law, we were able to secure getting those funds unfrozen. And all of our kids are in school right now as a result of it.
That's amazing. So you were blocked, but you found another way. And that, I think, is the theme of what we're talking about today. Skye Perryman, President and CEO of Democracy Forward. When we come back, let's talk about what the future looks like. All right. Everybody, you're listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. It's me, Dr. Kristen Lierley, and we'll be back in just a minute to wrap things up.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley, and I'm here with Skye Perryman. She is the president and CEO of Democracy Forward. We've been talking about all the ways that we're pushing back on the Trump administration, all those little points of light, and it is giving me so much hope, Skye. Everything that you say just is filling my heart, and I feel like we are headed in the right direction, and you always find a way at Democracy Forward. Let's talk a little bit about Democracy 2025, the network. You've built a network of 650 organizations. Is it that big?
It is. It is, in fact, that big.
How does that coordination work, and why is it so effective?
Well, this is not anything that any of us can do alone. And one of the things I hope all of the listeners take away from this is a scary time. You know, we're not going to pretend like this is some easy street situation. People are being terrorized every day. You have someone that has the most powerful position in the world trying to undermine the American people at every turn. So this is a very scary time. But community allows us to strengthen each other, right? Being in community with each other, having conversations just like we're having, connecting, makes you remember that you're not alone. There are other people out there. And that is really what provides the building blocks for courage, which we know is what is so important in this moment. And so starting in early 2024, we started looking at what would happen if Project 2025 became implemented at the federal level. We know what it looks like to people in communities. We've seen it at the state level. But what would happen if you had this nationwide threat? And we started working with organizations that had something to contribute to how we would save public education, how we would help people be able to access their health care, how we would help people to be able to access the ballot box. And that became the Democracy 2025. Not Project 2025.
Right, I see, they go together like a puzzle.
And so we had grown it to about 200 and so organizations by inauguration last year. And then over the course of this year, and that's why I can confidently say that as powerful institutions have stepped back, people have stepped forward. And we have seen so many organizations, from big national organizations to smaller grassroots organizations, step forward and say, I wanna be part of the legal response to this administration, and I'm not going to sit on the sidelines. And it's been incredibly important, especially this year when so many large law firms have not been doing that pro-democracy work. So the Democracy 2025 community, you can learn more on the democracy4.org website. You can learn more on the democracy2025.org website. It will continue to exist in 2026, even bigger and better. But if you take all of the organizations that are members of Democracy 2025, and you take our state AGs, you have about 70% of all the cases that have been brought against the administration and over half the wins. So this has been an incredibly effective coalition where people are talking, they're working, we're making sure that folks that need to be represented can find lawyers, we're making sure that lawyers can find the experts that they need to help them, and we're also just supporting each other in doing this work at a very scary time, but at a time that we know that we'll be able to overcome if we all work together.
Skye, you have been a bulwark for the people. We are looking at a new year, and the midterms are on the horizon. What's coming next, and what do we need to be most worried about?
Well, I think what you see is this is an administration that has been governing, and in some ways their allies in Congress have been governing in a way where they feel like they're not going to be held accountable by the American people. And we know from what we've seen the last few months that the American people are very much going to hold this administration accountable. And so the concern that we have and the concern that so many have is that the administration is going to do everything in its power to undermine the midterm elections, to try to convince people not to vote, to do things, to try to interfere with a free and fair midterm election. And so we want everyone to be on guard for that. There will be, you can follow democracy4.org, you know, we will have actions that people will need to take over the next year. But the thing that concerns me the most, and I will always provide this answer in this time right now, is that the number one tool that autocratic actors use, the number one tool that this White House uses, is not actually voter suppression. It's not gerrymandering. Those are tools that they're trying to use. But the biggest tool they use is they try to convince people that their voice doesn't matter and that they have no power. And when we give in to that, when we believe that we don't have power, when we question whether our voice matters, when we question whether our life and our contributions matter, that is where actors like Donald Trump can build power. If they convince us to be quiet, to normalize what's happening, and to give up. And so what we're asking everyone to do in 2026, and by the way, I'm going to be asking you to do it in 2027 and 2028 and beyond, but what we need everybody to do this year is we need you not to give up. We need you to stay engaged. We need you to defy isolation, to build community, to get together, to not let someone convince you that you're all alone or that your voice doesn't matter. That is what we need in 2026. And if we all do that, if we all defy isolation, if we build community, and if we refuse to give up, and we refuse to give in to the voices coming out of the White House or anywhere else that try to tell us that that we have no power and that what we do doesn't matter, we will be able to prevail for our democracy.
And everybody can do that. Everybody can stand together and lock arms and march forward. Democracy forward. So tell us, how can people get involved? How can they learn more about Democracy Forward? How can they pitch in to help?
We would love you to go to our website at democracyforward.org. You can sign up for our newsletter. We do not spam you. You're not going to get 1,000 different emails asking you to rush $5 or anything like that. You're going to get a good newsletter that's going to tell you what's going on with our work. Occasionally, we will update you about what's happening in court in real time. Follow our social media channels. If you have some extra money, we're happy to take your donations. We represent all of our clients free of charge because of the generosity of Americans. But what we really want you to do is just become part of our community. You don't have to give any money to do that. Become part of our community, follow us, stay engaged. And we have a lot of actions you can take, including throwing a dinner for democracy or a coffee for change or doing work in your own community to build bonds with others.
I love building community with you, Skye Perryman. Thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Skye Perryman, President and CEO of Democracy Forward. If you missed any part of our conversation, you can always find it wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. You can always find me on all the socials. So PM me and let me know what you want to hear. Many thanks to our wonderful and growing team, Abraham Lyerly, our producer, Nick Tierman, who wrote the theme song, and graphic design by Nathaniel Gonzalez. On behalf of the team, I'm Dr. Kristen Lyerly. We'll see you next week.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.